You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Well, there was an hour of award-winning radio with Chris Klein from the Arizona Broadcasters Association.
A lot to learn, a lot to relate to, kind of fun stuff.
Sales team, we're going to be carving that up into MP3s and YouTubes for you to send to your prospects and clients who radio.
I got to
do my social media advertising.
Dude, you know, and I have sold radio. I've sold advertising and stuff like that. Not a lot, but a couple of times in my career. And I've always said, you know, I can do it because I know radio works. I've been doing this since the 70s. I did one of the first Jim Click remotes at 22nd and Wilmot back in the 70s and ever since. And I know that when you talk, people listen, and if you hit a nerve, they will respond. You just got to figure out what they need and what you need, and it works. It darn works just about every time.
It does. You know.
I've seen it thousands
We've
of
had
times.
This discussion, you know, Dave Slavin, who works here with us at the station, he said this, you know, how many businesses go out of business don't have an actual organized advertising plan?
They advertise when they're going out of business.
Right.
Why? Because they want people to know.
Because they didn't advertise in the first year.
Duh. Point.
Hey, everybody.
Hi.
I was,
you're back from the biosphere. How was the air in there?
I almost did my Harry Carey over there. Hi, everybody. Harry Carey here. You know, it was so nice in there.
Yeah?
Climate control. The nicest part is when you go into the basement of it, where all the air handlers are, you go through this hallway.
Yeah.
It's like cinder block, right?
Yeah.
And they have these blowers, and it's like 35 to 40 mile per hour cool winds.
Yeah.
I was like, can I just stay down here? Can someone bring me some tequila? I'd be here for the rest of the day. I'd be very happy in my biosphere cave. But it was great. Close. Thanks for everything. We got to go to the phone. Now, today's an action day, according to KOLD.
I see.
All right. And that means
get off your butt or stay on your butt and watch TV.
No, I'm going to get to Allie Miller in just 2 seconds. Allie, thank you for your patience. I appreciate it. But I want to get this out. This is very important, this action day thing. So I put it up on my face. I'm trying to give people hope, for goodness sake, right? Because it was so hot yesterday. But they said it hit 110 yesterday.
Yep, officially.
In Tucson yesterday. Phoenix was whatever god-awful thing they were at.
I'm afraid to ask, yeah.
I think they were 114, I think, yesterday. Okay. But what I want to say is the fact that if I can get my crap up here. Thank you. Facebook is so useless.
Well, duh.
Who knew I was going to say that today?
So why are you going there?
Well, no, because that's where I posted the story.
So. Oh, your Facebook. Okay.
All right, so this is, yeah, absolutely. So an action day. For all of you who are worried about getting hot today, this is now no one signed off on it. It just says by the weather staff. Okay.
Oh, okay.
If you enjoyed the monsoon action last week, you're in for a treat. KOLD News First Alert Weather Team has declared an action day.
Oh.
For Wednesday, July 17th. The chances of rain jump to 50% on Wednesday and then next Tuesday. And so basically they're calling for widespread showers today.
Oh.
We call an action day anytime we think the weather was going to really affect your day. So action day today, guys. Get ready.
Action day.
Get the sandbags ready. Let's go up to an undisclosed location of Supervisor Allie Miller, where every day at the Pima County Board of Supervisors is some sort of action day, I think.
Yes, it is. I'll take some of that tequila, please.
I'm sitting there. I just knew how hot yesterday. We're in this little tunnel at the biosphere yesterday, and this cool breeze at 30. I'm like sitting there going, cocktail. That'd be good right now. That would be
good. It's really pretty out there. That would be a great place for a party.
That could be our next happy hour. We do it at the biosphere. So for all you people on the east side, I'll take you 2 hours to get to the biosphere. Since the last time I talked to you, young lady, you were at a meeting where the folks passed a final budget.
Yes, they did. You know, hope springs eternal. We worked really hard and tried 9 ways to Sunday to get them to even consider cutting the budget so that, you know, it was an overall net aggregate neutral to the taxpayer so that they wouldn't see a tax increase. But, of course, that didn't happen. Didn't come as any surprise. You know, I presented several options, and each time there was a whole lot of time spent coming up with reasons why we can't do it. It's impossible. We can't do it. It's kind of like when I presented last year, I did it by department. I went in and, you know, recommended cuts by department. Well, Chuck had his staff spend a whole lot of time coming up with the reasons why they couldn't do that. So it wasn't surprising, but it was pretty disappointing that my last proposal, you know, okay, we can't cut the library. You know, they're increasing the 12, adding 12 positions there. We can't cut there. We can't cut the flood district. And actually, when I presented the flood district capital project budget, Chuck said at least $1.1 million was easy to get of that because their budget went up over $8 million. And it was just constantly, we have to analyze this, and kept coming back and saying no every time. So the final one was, we were able to, you know, we had the list of vacant employees that are listed in the county budget. We had that list, and there was over, I think it was close to 1,100 or right around 1,100 vacancies. And that total for that budget is $52 million. And those are vacant positions that are budgeted in the county budget. We were able to go in and extract all of that data. They have a new database. We're able to pull all of that information out of it. So right now in the budget is $52 million for budgeted vacant positions in the county. And there's no way that the county is going to hire 1,100 people this year. And one of the things I pointed out to them, I gave them all the data. We just finished up the fiscal year of 2019 that ended June 30th of 2019 with a $39 million underrun on employee expenses.
Right.
That alone. The total overall, I believe, was about $100 million underrun.
All right. So
coming up with $10 million wasn't a real difficult thing to do.
So you keep going. I apologize.
Go ahead.
No.
Go ahead.
No, what I was going to say is you bring me to a fascinating question. I think it's fascinating, at least. Okay. And it's so interesting that these numbers came up because about 2 years ago, Gary Davidson and I did an hour together where Gary said, according to his numbers of what he saw, right, he kind of estimated 1,000 jobs that were never being filled, which
he's correct,
right? And it could, you know, for tens, you know, and I think he had it at the average, you know, Pima County employee, if you divided it out, was it somewhere in the 70-80 grand number with, you know, Benny's out the door. And so here's my magic question. I'm going to have you answer it, then we're going to go to break. So we are bringing in revenue to cover this $1.4 million, whatever the budget is, right? We have $35 million. Did you say 35 or 52 million? 52 million, right?
52 million budgeted for vacant positions.
So 52 million for these vacant positions. Let's say we don't hire any of them, okay? What's happening to that 52 million, whatever that number is? So when we roll over into another budget, what happens to that money? Because we're collecting taxes and stuff to pay for these things.
Right.
What happens? Is there a balance forward? What am I missing?
Yes. Yeah, those funds are in the budget balances for any department that is underrunning. They're programmed throughout the budget in various departments. So if those departments don't hire for those positions, it comes in as a fund balance at the end of the year that moves forward to the next year. And these fund balances, if these positions aren't hired this year, there will be an additional $52 million. But then the money, then there's what Chuck was saying. He was talking about budget maneuvers and how some departments are budgeting for actual expenses that they do. You know, they're using those monies for other things. So there you get into a situation. Chuck calls it budget maneuvers. I call it padding the budget. And you encounter that with any budget that you deal with. I've worked in budgeting in the private sector, and you will find people that will pad their budget with these vacant positions and use the monies for other things in case they need it. And that's why this is happening. It's very clear, and it's also very clear that those monies are, you know, if you look at this year, on June 30th, we ended up with $39 million underrun. And every year we begin the year for the last 3 years with more than 1,000 positions vacant. And we end the year with more than 1,000 positions vacant. And this year it was a $39 million underrun. Well, you go, well, what happened to the other money? Somebody is spending that money in other areas. They're using that money in their budget for other things. So it leaves the budget open for a whole lot of things that aren't planned, or you can move the monies and use them for other things. It should not be allowed. They should not be padding the budget to this extent. There's always going to be vacant positions. But what is going on here is very clearly there's a budget padding going on. And when you end up with $39 million left at the end of the year, you know there's something wrong with your budget. So that's something that, you know, Chuck made his argument that, oh, well, we can't do that. We can't cut there because people are using these monies for other things. Well, he should be cutting and making these people, you know, bringing more discipline to the budget so that we know exactly where these monies are being spent. And there's a reason that they're budgeted that way. It's pretty clear to me because people don't want you to know what they're spending the money on, obviously. And so this is something that I think that needs to be fixed and needs to be changed, because the conversation, Sharon Bronson brought up the fact, well, we really don't know what, you know, how much we really truly have then, how much money is truly there. Well, yeah, you do. On June 30th, you had $39 million at the end of the year that was not spent for employee expenses. So that is, you know, I showed them those numbers. It comes right out of the county budget data. And there was no explanation other than, you know, we're using the money for other things and we can't. So I think, you know, to me, it was pretty disappointing, and it was unbelievable that, you know, this wasn't addressed, that we had to get these vacancies down. And, you know, it's Pima County budget. What can I say?
Thank you very much. Can you hold on for a break, please?
Sure.
Thank you, Allie. We're on with Supervisor Allie Miller. If you have a question or comment for Allie, 790-2040. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 1030 Voice, local news and talk, live streaming at KVOI.com. Remember, you can use your Echo and your Siri soon to say, play KVOI, 1030 The Voice, and magically this idiot's voice will come out of a little box. Wake up.
Spencer Davis' birthday today. Rock on.
Oh, it's a Spencer Davis hour here with Ed Alexander. Let's head back to the phones. Supervisor Allie Miller calling in. She's you're cooling off someplace in an undisclosed location, correct?
Yes, I am. I'm cooling off in Idaho. Trying to stay cool anyway.
So now we were going to put the migrant folks in the juvenile detention facility. Then we weren't, and now we are. And now we're going to spend $530,000, it says, in federal funds, according to Fergalicious.
Would that be Stone Garden kind of funds?
I didn't know we were sitting on $530,000 of federal money.
That's right. Well, first of all, it's more than $500,000. If you're talking about per year,
right?
I went through, and as usual, there's four or five memorandums, and you have to read through them all and compile all the information. The total annual cost that I've come up with thus far is $1.14 million plus startup cost of $60,000, and these are from Chuck's memos. And in addition to that, I went through the memo that came out yesterday And the county is also paying for a brand new 53-space parking lot, which has no dollar amount on it. And the kitchen is not, the kitchen that they're going to use is part of the juvenile detention center, which there's nothing being paid to the county to compensate the use of that kitchen. And then we also, because that kitchen is used for the juvenile detention center, feeding those people. And so that kitchen is another question I have. How much is that going to cost? And then the feeding of, we're not only feeding the individuals who are coming there to be processed, we're feeding volunteers and employees. So the numbers I came up with was assuming only 250 people were there for processing. So I need to go back and recalculate that with the full 300, because we're going to be also, according to the latest document, feeding the volunteers and the employees of the Catholic Community Services. So
What was that original number that you laid out?
1 point something.
You said 1.4 million?
Yeah, 1.14 million, plus the 59,000 that Chuck identified and startup costs. And we're only charging the Catholic Community Services $100 per year to use this facility. Mm-hmm. I don't find how, if the Catholic Community Services, what are they providing?
Well, I assume they're providing volunteers. Then we have Kozachik saying that the volunteers are going to, quote, donate all the meals.
Not according to Chuck's memo. We're paying for those, and he's got the costs outlined. We're going to pay the salaries of two full-time cooks. Annually, that's $72,000, where the food annually is $722,000. $722,700, according to Chuck's numbers. And then the laundry is almost $20,000 a year, and the janitorial is $132,000 a year. Utilities, $96,000. Maintenance, $62,400. And then modifications to the facility, the initial was $57,925, but then we have a new parking lot. He also identifies that we're going to be providing furniture. And then this kitchen, there's no compensation in the memorandum anywhere for the use of that kitchen. And then my big question here is, how much liability is the county taking on by having them housed in this facility, which is near the juvenile detention facility? That really concerns me.
So we had, was it Steve Farley, when I asked him, last week he was at the one at the monastery, and I asked him how many TPD officers are being used, because I guess they're basically securing the migrants from whether or not there's some bad people, you know, securing them from each other in a way. And he said they were using three or four full-time TPD officers there.
At that facility. Then in addition to, it says in there that the county can provide additional security at their sole discretion and cost.
Right.
Well, that means Pima County taxpayers are going to be picking up the tab for that. And then if you look at this $530,000, that is from the Stone Garden grant for the overtime and the mileage compensation. I think it's slightly over $1.1 million. That was the grant. Operation Stone Garden grant for Mark Napier. What two of the conditions that they had in there? Number one, it was $200,000 they wanted for this humanitarian aid. And then the other thing they had in there was $334,000 to reimburse the county for costs associated with administering the grant, for the indirect costs, you know, for the grants employees that have to administer this grant. And they said that was $334,000. Now, in Chuck's recent memo to the DHS, he said, oh, by the way, we've now decided that $334,000 is going to be used for humanitarian. So they've yet again changed it without even bringing it to the Board of Supervisors. He's just decided he's changing that. And in addition, as Mark Napier said, you can submit the expenses for humanitarian aid. You can submit expenses for reimbursement for indirect costs, but he couldn't guarantee that the Department of Homeland Security would agree to pay those costs. So we have no agreement from anyone that for any type of grant funding for these efforts. There's nothing. We have received nothing. We have no agreement. And the way it works with grants, you bill for the various services that you provide. I don't know if it's monthly or quarterly, but you bill for it as you incur the expenses. So they don't just give you that $1.1 million up front.
Right.
And in addition, Napier's budget on there is going from $1.1 million down to $500,000-$600,000 now. So it's impacting the sheriff's department for overtime pay. And I know Napier said he was fine with this money being redirected. But end of the day, this $330,000, that money is real cost to Pima County taxpayers. So I don't agree with Chuck that isn't a cost to us, because they were, I don't know if you remember how they were all complaining and howling at the expense of accepting these Stone Garden funds, that Pima County has to pay all these extra funds, right, for administering this program. And we're tired of taking these grant funds and accepting them and then having to incur all these additional costs. So that's a real cost. So that $330,000 needs to be included in the annual number.
So one more time for everyone, what is if we do this for a year, what is the cost to the Pima County taxpayer? What's the estimated cost? What would you say?
Okay, the startup costs, according to Chuck, are $60,000.
Right.
That is for getting the facility modified to how they want it, how
right.
the community services wants it. Then $1.14 million for the annual costs that he outlined, plus that indirect, that $330,000 is a loss to the county. $330,000 for indirect costs associated with administering the grant. So if you add this all up, and then the $200,000 that they originally had said they were going to try to get that money for humanitarian aid, I think I find it hard to believe that they can give grant money to the county for efforts that are supposed to be for overtime and mileage recovery for the sheriff's department and law enforcement activities. They may do it, but end of the day, that $330,000 is a loss to Pima County taxpayers, because that's our indirect employees that are administering the grant.
So it's interesting.
So it'll be $1.4 million if you add that in.
When Chuck was, I found this, it was the NPR station up in Phoenix was interviewing Chuck about this, and I played it on the air. He said that the reason why they're doing it is this is a public safety hazard, because if you just bring all these people to Tucson and dump them on the streets, this is a public safety hazard for Pima County, and that's why we need to process them through a facility.
And I agree with that. It is, but it is not the responsibility of Pima County taxpayers. This should be funded by the federal government, because our Congress is not doing their job, and they're not fixing the loopholes, and these people are pouring in. He's absolutely right. I mean, if you release these people into the community without any services, without providing them vaccinations or treatment for illnesses, guess what? It's going to, and the people are hungry. They're going to be needing food, and they're going to have children with them. So it has to be done. But my question is, why are Pima County taxpayers going to be on the hook for this? We've received nothing from the federal government. And I think, you know, Ann Kirkpatrick is busy impeaching Donald Trump or advocating for that. Where is she on this? Where is the money for this, Ann Kirkpatrick? What are you doing to get this funding to Pima County? All of our representatives, they all need to answer to this, and we need to get these monies instead of putting it on the backs of Pima County taxpayers over and over again, because it's going to end up there. And whether we get reimbursed for it, we don't know. Chuck sent out a memo. We've applied for these three different grants. Well, we have, and it's roughly $1.5 million in total. But where is the money? We haven't got the money yet, and they should be able to process emergency grant funding for this type of situation very quickly because, you know, they just got, Trump just got some additional funding. So we need the money. And to me, that should be the priority, is getting the money first before we bring these people into this facility and put it on the backs of the Pima County taxpayers. So I'm looking at this. And then there's costs that aren't being properly identified. Who's paying for that 53-space parking lot? How much is that going to cost? That isn't even in here. And then there's 50 additional meals per day. When I calculated this, he said 250 people being processed were going to be fed today. But then when I got the latest memo from last night, it is now going to be 300 because we're going to also be feeding the volunteers and the employees. So that's 300 meals a day. So this number's going up. And I question, you know, how do they know what the annual cost for medical supplies and services are? $35,520. It could very well be a lot more money. So I think
you've been to the doctor lately? Jeez.
I know.
$35,000 a year.
Yes, the liability of housing these individuals near our juvenile facility. And they have in the contract a monthly meeting with the court's personnel to ensure there's, you know, they're not interfering. Well, that tells me there's a very strong chance that there will be some issues with interference. And we're talking juveniles that are housed out there. What if a communicable disease is, you know, they start getting sick? You know, that's the kind of thing I'm concerned about, and the liability for the Pima County taxpayers. According to the contract, the Catholic Community Services is indemnifying Pima County, but you know what happens when you get a lawsuit going. It's always the deep pockets that they go for. And so I don't think that Pima County can get out of having any liability when we own the facility.
So what's the, before I let you go back and cooling off in beautiful Idaho, tell me about what's the process here? There's going to be an emergency meeting or something to approve this or start the process?
There's an emergency meeting to approve it on Tuesday. And I did hear that they were discussing, and what happened with Richard Elias, he was very upset about the fact that they were going to use a detention facility for housing these folks. Can you imagine if Donald Trump used a detention facility? I mean, you know, everything would be breaking loose. It would be the end of the world. And now it's okay. And I understand that Adelita Grijalva said, well, we would have provided a school for this use. However, we don't have the money to do all of these retrofits and modifications and everything to fix it up. So the reason it's happening at the Pima County Detention Facility is because Pima County has the money. It's the taxpayers' money of Pima County that is being used to modify this facility. And who knew we had an empty facility with roughly 20,000 square feet laying around doing nothing?
Yeah, I didn't know either. The idea that it was only 10% used, I didn't hear. That didn't come out of the communications department. Hey, look at us. We did a great job. We're only 10% using this.
Yeah. I mean, we had heard nothing about this. And if you read Chuck's memo, he said it's been vacant for years. Well, what the heck are we doing here? If we don't need the facility, let's sell it. And $100 a year is not the market rate for that facility. Why, if Catholic Community Services is getting reimbursed by the federal government for processing these individuals seeking asylum, then why aren't they paying market rate lease for this? Again, the taxpayers of Pima County are being shortchanged.
In the end, you're right. It is a federal problem. And whatever the rate is for using it, it doesn't really matter because it should be reimbursed by the feds because that's their problem. And you're right. The lack of bipartisan anything to go fix this, especially from, I got Martha's was a congresswoman down here on the border. Kirkpatrick, we know Grijalva's useless. But the idea that none of this can actually come together to fix is it's pathetic. That's where we're at.
And why is it such an emergency to rush in and do this right now to get this done without thoroughly exploring everything and making sure we have the funding in place.
Well, they fell asleep on the monastery when the real estate guy who let them use the monastery said they knew they had to be out by a certain date, and they all got caught sleeping.
Right. That's always the story, right? We were asleep at the wheel. But, you know, end of the day, they should be made to wait until the federal government comes in and provides this funding.
Allie Miller, thanks for the call in, as always. Are you going to be here for the emergency meeting?
I'm going to be calling in.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I will. All right. I'll see you soon, and thanks for the call in and reading all those memos.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, ma'am.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Hey, I'm just like on the phone. Goodbye. Hey, it's Christy Simone, 8:41 in the morning. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show, Ed Alexander. We come back. There's a couple of realities of this that I want to share with you. Someone sent me a good thing about Pima County budgets and employees. And then there's a little quote by Mark Napier I have to take a little bit of exception to in the paper. Well, sorry, on a blog. And then we'll go from there.
Speaking of the paper, it seems like they missed a few millions in their calculations.
Well, we'll talk about
that. Yeah,
yeah. Wake up, Tucson, 1030 KVOI, The Voice. All right, welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show, 8:45 in the morning. We got one more break to go because it went long with Allie. So, Ed, be ready soon. Real quick, I want to do a little political reality of all this stuff, right? So they want to do this thing. We've learned from Allie now that the cost for this for a year is, you know, going to be over $1 million, okay? And you're right. So let's see, what did Matt send me? He sent us, the paper didn't give us the full story on the shelter. Color me shocked.
Oh,
shocked,
geez.
I tell you.
That's called reporting.
Thank you for Allie. You know, and it's the way they do the, think about this, right? So the Fergalicious writes this article, right? And whoever throwing on, Kurt wrote this, Kurt Pendergrast.
Somebody else
Sorry.
Did, yeah.
And here's the headline, right? Because most people are just reading the headline.
Absolutely.
That's what they're going to see when it's shared on your Facebook,
right?
Pima County plans to spend $530,000 in federal funds to house migrant families. That's bullcrap.
Yeah.
Now, Chuck's applying to see if the Stone Garden money that's supposedly racist can be used. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
Isabel Garcia, when they had this, said, looks like she got in Sharon's face because she voted yes for Stone Garden, right? At the same time, she said, if you take this money, it's going to enable Pima County Sheriff to beat up on brown people. All right, so now Chuck's applying to see if he can get that money to go towards this, which is a possibility. I'm not saying it's not a possibility. It's a possibility. So I know, I know it says plans to spend $530,000. Yeah. The real thing is, Pima County to spend $1.14 million plus on migrant facility hopes to get reimbursement from feds. That's the real headline.
Yeah, but he never talks about any of that.
So now here's the best part. Chucky Poo is going, he sent his thing, right? And now the feds are going to look at, Chuck Huckleberry. Let's see, who's the... there's three people who's the board majority of Pima County who hate this administration, right? Trump's a racist. Trump's a bastard. The federal government's evil. We're going to do resolutions that he didn't join the Paris Accords. The wall idea is evil.
Right.
Blah, 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 right? Well, that's sure going to help you convince them to go, why don't we change the goal of some of this money to go to this? Come on. No, it may happen. I'm just saying you're a government entity whose board majority has crapped on this administration since they got elected, before they got elected, right? This Stone Garden money, at least two of them, Ramon Valadez and Richard Elias, after they accepted it for years because their buddies Chris Nanos or Sheriff Dubnik were spending it, and Trump wasn't in the presidency, all of a sudden Stone Garden money is evil. But now Stone Garden money is not evil. So they want $530,000 in federal funds. They're going to cry about it. But we now know they have $52 million in padded salaries that they're not going to spend any money on. It's a weird world out there. It's a weird, weird world. When we come back, and I'll ask Mark directly. Oh, there are no breaks?
No, I'm looking at it. We played all three.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought I went really long with Allie on the second break. That's okay.
That's what I'm seeing.
All right, that's fine.
I kind of remember it.
That's okay. That happens. So let me get to this quote by Mark Napier. And I love Mark. I want to say it two more times. I love Mark. Okay? But there's a line in a Tucson Sentinel story that I got to ask him about. So Napier, the Republican sheriff. We were just talking about this with Dan Shearer. How many times do you have to say? It's very weird when they wrote this because they always say Republican for Napier. They rarely say it for Elias, but then they said it for Bronson and Valadez later. They're very inconsistent, it feels like, but that doesn't matter. So here's the quote from Mark. Napier, the Republican sheriff, noted that, quote, too many people in my party say, comma, just put them in the street. That's not reasonable. It's not the humane thing to do and not the safe thing to do. It's not acceptable. A lot of Republicans say they're Christians. That's not the Christian faith that I recognize, unquote. That's from Mark Napier. So what I want to know from Mark, and hopefully we'll have him on soon, is what Republicans, because that's what he's saying, too many people in my party say just put them on the street. I'd love to know a name or two of someone who's a, we're not talking about internet trolls, okay? There's lots of internet trolls on both sides. Is there someone from the that we've seen in the Republican Party locally that says that we should just throw these asylum-seeking migrants on the streets? Am I missing something? Give me a call, 790-2040, because I like to know who they are. I feel like sometimes it's too easy to make these generalizations. Now, yes, are there internet right-wing trolls saying, throw them on the streets? Actually, I think most Republicans would say they shouldn't be here in the first place. How about that for fabulous? Most Republicans, Allie's like, hey, Democrats and Republicans, you're letting this happen, right? So if we talk about the Arizona delegation, and we have Martha McSally, we have Kirkpatrick, Grijalva, right? These folks. And then even some of the Phoenix delegation, right? Which includes David and Tom O'Halloran. We like to call Tom O'Halloran the Paul Durham of Congress. No one really knows that he exists. But so that group of bipartisan Congress people, where are they at? We know that a lot of Republicans like a David and some of these folks out there want to do the right thing on the border. They don't have the votes maybe on either side here. But when do you start making that pissed off stand? And Noah's right. Ann Kirkpatrick, you know, wants to say, yeah, Dan Shearer was talking about how at a thing someone said, when are you going to make AOC shut up? And you can kind of tell like she wanted to, but this is the first thing out of Ann Kirkpatrick's mouth is impeachment. So I see Ann Kirkpatrick. Think about this. So she got her, she's floated up on everyone's Facebook page now because it's covered that she's on the house the floor of the house saying, we need to impeach Donald Trump, okay? Because of his tweet about the four ladies. And I will tell you, is that the first time we've seen in a long time Ann Kirkpatrick on the House floor asking for anything? Have we seen have we seen any articles with that same picture of Ann on the House floor saying, you guys need to help us. This border is out of control. Well, of course not. Of course not. I'm correct, correct?
It looks that way. Looks like it played, but nobody heard it. Sorry.
No, that's okay.
You're right.
I'm here. Let's go do a break.
Okay.
8:53 in the morning.
That's crazy.
Dave Ramsey's coming up next. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30. KBOI. Lovels. Make you. No
something. Yes.
8:55 in the morning. You're on Wake Up, Tucson. We just got a couple of minutes. So we talked about it earlier. Ed was saying that the Dutch Brother kids spent 900 G's on the corner of Broadway and Alvernon. Now, this was where the McDonald's was supposed to be. This is three, 4 years ago, Canciola was trying to move the one off of Reed Park over into the better corner of Broadway and Alvernon. And what happened was that we got neighborhood stuff, right? We had they were complaining about the idling. That's what kills you. One of the reasons that the first McDonald's moved to that, and again, it was the idea that the city did not seem very helpful. If I can find the guy who was the developer of that, who said he would never develop anything in Tucson again, he lays out the whole thing. Even Mike Varney, the male Amber Smith, right? He wrote a couple of things and said, this is ridiculous. And part of the complaint from the neighborhood back there, they would rather have the burnt out, what was that, an Exxon station, Chevron station, right, with the wood and stuff with the homeless guys using it as their personal garden toilet, right? They would rather have it burnt out than have a brand new McDonald's there. So what they were complaining about was because there was going to be dual drive-through, right? You've seen this. The exhaust of the idling, oh, they did it all. the exhaust from the idling cars was such a detriment to the neighborhood. And I'm sure they went to Mother Earth on us, too, if they really wanted to do it, right?
And the egress and the degress and your ungress. And, yeah.
So now it's okay for a Dutch Brothers to come in?
Same thing.
Don't they have idling cars all the time?
In and out, and that's what they do.
Right.
Oh, Chris. You're not supposed to remember this stuff.
Now, maybe the city is just becoming a little... Maybe they're getting a little more desperate for tax revenue now.
Maybe Durham's office forgot to answer the phone. I don't know.
Well, that's Stevie K's.
Is it still?
Oh, yeah.
Are you sure?
That's way Stevie K. Yeah. So, anyway... So I guess the Dutch Brothers are going to open up their 6th Pima County Region 1 on Alvernon and 22nd, which, of course, is way better than the burnt-out Chevron station or whatever the hell it's
That's been there for 6-8 years. Okay, it's been an eyesore for the neighborhood. So maybe the neighborhood finally figured it out that, oh, having a coffee shop would be cool. Yes, screw you.
Remember people. Tomorrow at Rincon High School, Ed's hometown.
Yeah, what?
It's the big Democrat debate at 6 p.m. So the Pima County Democratic Party is having their primary mayoral debate tomorrow night, Rincon High School, at 6 p.m. So if you want to watch Steve try to go to the left of Rahina and Randy, those three folks beating each other up, that's happening tomorrow at 6 p.m.
Lock your car. Oh,
correct. Jonathan Hoffman's column on Sanctuary Cities finally made it on the paper 3 days late. So if you want to check that out, go to Tucson.com opinion page. Thanks to Dan Shearer for a great half hour. Mm-hmm. Thanks to Chris Klein from the Arizona Broadcasters Association for a great hour. And thanks to Allie Miller again, who reads budgets and memos and told you that the real price for the first year of migrant asylum seekers is more like $1.14 million. May get some of it back.
You know, the Star could actually write the stories for the Star. She wouldn't charge them because she's a public figure. And they would actually get the right numbers.
We don't want these Tea Party people writing for our paper.
We don't want to know the right numbers.
We'll see you tomorrow. Gecko Pest Control, David Schweikert, Prep and Pastry. Wake up.